equipped us with what we need. Now, we've been through basic training, but some of us complain the whole time in basics. We've been through basic stuff. You've been through the basic things that everybody go through. Everybody is broke sometime. Everybody gets sick sometime. Everybody get lied on sometime. Everybody get talked about sometime. That's just the basics. But we're complaining in the basics. How can you fight in the war if you don't learn in the basics? Y'all with me here? Everybody have friends that turn their back on them. Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. He tells us that there are going to be offenses in the world, but woe unto them that bring it. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm in basic right now. I thought I was going through something, but I'm just in basics. We're just in basics. Hallelujah. The Bible said, we have not suffered unto death. Oh, Lord. He says, as a good soldier in Christ. Then he goes on, not only do we have to endure, but he says, don't be entangled. No man, verse 4, that warreth, no man that's fighting, no man that is engaged in warfare, entangledeth himself with affairs of this life. What is he saying now? He's telling us that there's nobody that's in a war can take care of business at home. If you've been deployed, you got to get somebody else to take care of the dog, the children, the house stuff. You can't worry about that stuff because what you got to worry about is right in front of you. What your concern should be is right there in front of you. Amen? It's what's in the trenches that you're concerned about now. Oh, come on. It's just making it stand alive. Y'all don't hear me. He said, no man that warreth entangleth. And sometimes we get so entangled with the affairs of this life that we can't see that God has given us an abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. Come on and say amen here. Jesus lets us know that. And we get so entangled with the affairs of this life that we can't even enjoy the good life that he's given us. We can't even enjoy the eternal life. We can't even focus on what God said he has for us because we're worried about today. Amen. We can't continue to worry about today and continue to let today dictate my attitude and what I believe because regardless of what today brings, I still believe. Amen. Y'all with me here? He said, he that he may please him who's chosen him to be a soldier. I like this part because I hear people saying for years, we all time say that I found the Lord. No, you ain't find him. He never was lost. We were the ones lost. He found us. Preach. We got to understand. He said that he has chosen us. He's the one that handpicked you. He's picked you out. And you know what? You've been picked out to be picked on, but then you've also been picked out to be picked up. Y'all with me here? We're going to have some fights. We're going to have some battles. But he's chosen you for the battle. See, we get so discouraged when things come against us. We just, I don't know what I'm going to do. And look like every time I turn around, there's got to be something I'm going through. Guess what? He chose you for the battle. Tell somebody what you're going through. God chose you to go through it. Because he knows you will make it. Oh, you're going to make it. Tell somebody you're going to make it. God chose you to go through what you're dealing with right now. He said that what did it say? And I'm not telling you something that ain't written. He said that, he said, don't be concerned with the things of this life. He said, but know that you got to please the one who chose you to be a soldier. So if he chose you to be a soldier, that means he chose you to battle because he knew you were capable. He chose you to battle because he knew that you would be able to endure, that you would be able to go through whatever it is that he's going to let come your way, whatever war that he has, whatever war Satan tried to bring about, you'll be able to withstand the satanic forces of evil that come against you because you are empowered by God and you're able to endure hardness as a good soldier because you got on your helmet of salvation, you got on your breastplate of righteousness, you got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have your shield of faith and your sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And he didn't give you anything for the backside, because he don't intend for you to run from the devil. He intends for you to stay forward. He intends for you to face your enemy, to face your trouble. Come on, to face your trial, to face whatever it is that the enemy put in front of you. I'm here to face it. Oh, come on and say amen. And when I faced it and I overcome it, he told me to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to what's before me and press toward the mark for the prize of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. Y'all still looking at me funny here. We got to understand that he didn't give us anything to cover our backside, because our backside is already covered. David said, goodness and mercy shall follow. You got goodness and mercy following you all around all the days of your life. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. I believe we have some live ones in here today, Lord. Oh, he says now, he says that in verse number 5, he goes on and he starts to tell us, he says, if any man strive for masteries, the word masteries mean, is the Greek word stephanos, so, and it means to a crown. If any man strive to be crowned, it's a victor's crown. If any man strive to have a victor's crown, if you strive for victory, if you want to have victory, anybody want to have victory other than me? He said, if you strive for victory, he said, you can't get your crown except you strive lawfully. In other words, you need to know what's right. You got to do it right. You can't break the rules and win this thing. You can't do it any other way. You got to do it the way the rule maker made the rules, and you got to follow his rules. You know how when we run a race, you got to stay in your lane. Amen. You got to stay in your lane. Tell somebody, stay in your lane. God has put some boundaries around you that'll keep you in your lane. And if you just run your race with patience, oh, come on and say amen. It's too many of us running outside of our lane. Too many of us wanting to quit in the middle of the lap. Come on and say amen. Too many of us let the monkey jump on our back, and we got to stop that. We got to pace ourselves and endure hardness as a good soldier. We got to make sure that as I'm running, that I'm not going to let this monkey get on my back, because I've been training for this day. I'm not just going to hop in a race and I haven't trained. I'm not going to just get in a race and I haven't did anything to discipline myself. And what that means is that you got to discipline yourself. You got to stop eating some things. You got to stop drinking some things. You got to stop doing some things in order for you to get in shape for the race. And God is telling us that no man that run a race, you'll get in that race knowing you out of shape, knowing that you ain't got no wind. Come on and say amen. But you got to strive lawfully. You got to do it in the right way. You got to go by the rules of the coach. Who is my coach? The Holy Ghost down on the inside of me. He lets me know, don't do this. He lets me know, stay in this lane. He lets me know, watch this. He lets me know, don't look who's behind you. Look at what's before you. Preach in this house. I amen myself, because I can't get no amens today. But he tells us, he says that if you're going to be crowned, if you're going to have victory, you got to do it like the Lord said, do it. And I'm here to let you know that I don't care what the enemy say. I don't care what the street committee say. I don't care what he say and she say and us and I heard they say. But I'm here to let you know that if you do it the way the Lord said do it, that you're going to win. And one thing to keep in mind, that this race that we're running, it is not a sprint. Come on and say amen. It is a marathon. So it doesn't matter if you come in first. But what matters is if you finish it. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to be like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only to me, but everybody that finishes with me. I wish I had somebody. Verse 6 says to be engaged. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm sorry. Trying to get out. Okay. He says, the verse 6 tells us to be engaged, because he begins to talk about, you know, those who can't understand running because you ain't never did it. Maybe you're kind of a Grecian type people that you know how about planting. Because this is the season, if you hadn't noticed, this is the season for us to begin to sow seed. All right. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. The word labor means to labor or to work until you're weary, until you're almost to the point that you can't stand up. That's labor. Now, I know some of us say, I've been working hard and look like I ain't getting no progress. But a husbandman, a farmer understands that when you put the seed in the ground, you can't worry about it. Amen. And you can't see it growing. Amen. Because it grows down first. Yeah. Y'all not with me here. So you've been worried about when is this thing going to come to fruition. And what it's been doing, it's been growing down first. Oh, my God. Then it's going to come up. But he tells us the husbandman that he engages himself in this labor so much that he gets up before sunrise and he doesn't stop till sunset. You got to put some time in. Oh, come on, put in some work and do. And he says that he, the husbandman, that means the farmer, or the one who is engaged to take care of whatever he puts out there. See, you ought to be engaged to make sure that whatever you put out there, you're going to oversee to make sure it happens. If you put your word out there, make sure you be there when you say you're going to be there. Come on and say amen. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Amen. He said that labor must be the first partaker of the fruit. He said, if you work, you're going to be the first one to get, you're going to be the first one to reap the benefits of it. I don't know about you, but I put in some work. Amen. And I'm not bragging on what I've done, but what I'm saying is that I know that this works and you become the first partaker of the fruit because you're the first one to see it come up. When nobody else is paying attention, you out there looking, you say, oh, I got a harvest coming. When nobody else sees it, you say, oh, my God, I'm so thankful. And I'm already thinking about who I'm going to bless with this harvest. Oh, come on and say amen in this house. And so you got to start seeing for yourself. See, the farmer goes out there and he puts it in the ground and he has faith that God's going to give some rain and he's going to give some sunshine and he's going to receive a harvest. But when we put something in the ground, we keep digging it up to see what it's doing. You got to stop. Come on, tell somebody, quit digging it up. Quit digging it up. We keep digging it up to see if it's doing anything. But let me tell you something about a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, you know, a seed, you can put it on a shelf and it won't do nothing. It'll just sit there on the shelf. But then as soon as you put it in the ground, it begins to germinate. It begins to break up. And it begins to grow out. It's something about being put in the ground. But the other thing is that when you fertilize it with manure and things like that, it begins to grow. And in order for a farmer, look at this, the husbandman labor. What is he laboring in? He's laboring in mess. Y'all don't hear me. Sometimes I got to labor through mess. I got to put this dung on there. I got to put some manure. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I got some mess that I got to go through. I got some mess sometimes get on me. I got some mess just so that I can watch this harvest come. Just so I can watch this seed grow. I got to get in this mess. Oh, come on and say amen here. Come on, put your mess shoes on and walk through this mess with me. Put your mess clothes on and walk through this mess so that when we come out of this mess, when I go to town to show them what I got, I ain't got to wear my mess clothes no more. Come on and say amen. When I put my mess clothes on, don't nobody know but the folks that's right there with me in the mess, because they messed up too, preaching this house. And since they messed up, they ain't got no room to talk about my mess because they got mess on them too. But when we get a harvest, we can put our clean clothes on and we can walk up and say, see what the Lord has done. And see, people see the glory, but they don't know the story of the mess that you had to dump. The mess that you had. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm just, my God. But I got to be engaged. I got to be willing to endure the mess. Y'all with me? Are you willing to endure the mess? The mess don't smell good.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We're going to visit 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today and walk through some of the verses to help perhaps give us insight and understanding on this issue of tongues. One of the things that I think is so helpful for us today to understand is the purpose of tongues today. Certainly, I must state again that there is, even today, a major disagreement between scholars and theologians about the relevance of tongues today in the church. There are those who say that tongues ceased in the infant church, during the time of Pentecost, and that it was fulfilled during that time, never again to continue its role as tongues. There are those who suggest that it continued on, but it ceased later. And they suggest that in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that Paul said tongues would cease. And so they use that as a basis or grounds for saying that tongues ceased. But yet chapter 14 is an issue between tongues and prophecy. Now, if tongues had ceased in 13, why would there be an argument about it in 14? Why would there be a discussion about it in 14? Paul wanted to straighten up the misusage of tongues in especially the Corinthian church. And so chapter 14 is really about helping the believers to understand the relevance of tongues even in that day and time, and the ability to understand that tongues plays a lesser role in the church than does prophecy. And so if that is the case, we need to know what tongues' role and responsibility is in the current church today. Well, one of the things that you will discover are many of the teachings that share with us various, issues concerning tongues. And one of the other issues that has come up is that if you are filled with the Spirit of the living God, that you must have tongues as evidence of your receiving the Holy Ghost. And just as with tongues, there's controversy about that, because some say that Jesus never spoke in tongues. Now, If Jesus never spoke in tongues, then we need to take out several verses in the Word where Jesus spoke, especially when he raised Lazarus' daughter from the dead. He spoke in tongues then. If we use tongues in the sense of the original tongues in Acts 2, where they spoke in other languages, other languages, again, Jesus spoke. So that could not be totally correct unless they're saying Jesus never spoke in the spiritual language. If that's the case, then the reality again deals with the fact that they never heard him, because in all of the time of his moments of getting away and going into deep prayer with God, we certainly know that Jesus spent time in the prayer language because of, again, his spiritual nature. Those who argue all of these different things brings us to the point, certainly in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I believe it's 33, somewhere thereabout, it says, God is not the author of confusion. So if there's all of that confusion, where is that confusion coming from? The Bible says, let God be true and all men be what? Liars. So let me say this on the onset of this teaching. I want to give you the truth. Now you decide whether or not you want to believe it. You decide whether or not it means this or that to you, because again, most scholars are like scientists. They deal strictly with the logical understanding of how they can derive understanding from the written word, both in modern times and those of scrolls of antiquity. And so what could not be understood could not be accepted. Where it doesn't stop there, that's the letter of the law. But how many of you know there is a spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is where the revelation of the law comes into play, the understanding, the working of the law. It's not just enough to know the law, but to be able to interpret that law as relates to you or your circumstance or the situation that you're put in. So understanding all of this is, again, a benefit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, gives us gifts. The gift of tongues is a gift. Now, how many of you have gotten gifts that you hadn't used from somebody? Come on, be real with me now. I got a dear friend who's given me many gifts. And, you know, people get a little upset when they give you gifts and they don't see you use them. And I misplaced some keys and so forth and so on. And my friend said, man, I gave you a thing to hold all your keys in. I never see you use it. I don't want to tell him I lost a gift, you know. I mean, but it messed with my style. I didn't want to have no big case of keys going around. So it didn't work within the framework. Great gift. Great gift idea, but I never used it. And every time I had an issue, I was promptly reminded that if I had used the gift, somebody ought to hear me today. And so there are gifts we don't use, but it don't mean we don't have them. Now remember, if we've received these gifts, and according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, God gives these gifts to whomever he chooses. You can't select these gifts and say, I want this one and I want the other. These are gifts given to you. Given to you. Given to you. Then when he gets down around the 29th verse of that same chapter, the 12th chapter, he asked a question. Are all apostles, all teachers, all prophets, do all speak in tongues? What's the answer? No, of course not. Of course not. So here is the thing. There is scriptural proof in the word that these things are said, but the question is whether or not they are taken out of context, whether or not they are properly interpreted, because it would be no argument if you didn't have scripture to represent both sides. All right, I want you to hear me. So here is my thing. I want us to understand that because there are scriptural proofs to validate each side in this issue, the question becomes whether or not you believe it and you have faith to operate in what you believe God has given to you as a gift and you desire to use it. If you choose not to, nobody's going to blame you. That means you don't get whatever the benefit of that gift was if you don't use that gift. And tongues is the least, according to the word, of the gifts. So because it is the least of the gifts, because its design is to edify one person, the one the gift was given to. Now, if there is an interpreter and the gift is used in the church, then the church can receive edification of the understanding of that gift. But let me also go back and differentiate the difference between the two gifts. Of course, the sign gift, which is the sign gift of foreign languages. That's what was spoken in the New Testament church. And when they talk about having an interpreter in the church, it's talking about for sign gift languages. In other words, those are foreign languages. Paul spoke between 12 and 14 foreign languages in his ministry. But Paul also makes clear in the 13th chapter, the first verse, that I speak with tongues of men. That was the 12 to 14 different foreign languages. And of angels. Now, that is the spiritual gift of language. That's the prayer language. That's angel talk or heaven talk. That is the talk where your spirit communes with God's spirit and it speaks mysteries in the spirit, things that you don't know and nobody down here can interpret. It is a communication of intimacy and interest between you and God. So nobody's going to interpret that language. So let's be clear, when it talks about interpretation, it's not talking about interpreting prayer language. It's talking about interpreting natural or human languages, foreign languages. And so we need to be clear about that, because one, it depends on what you're speaking about. Now, the sign language of tongues, which is, again, the foreign languages, is very seldom used in the church today now because of, one, the printed word and all of the different languages we have the printed word in. So very consequently, there are people who understand the various languages that are spoken in natural tongue or foreign languages that aren't used today as much as they were used in the beginning or in the infancy of the church. On the day of Pentecost, when these 3,000 or so souls came from various parts of the land, they spoke in different dialects, different languages, and the Spirit of God gave men who had never learned these languages the ability to speak those languages, so that the people who spoke that tongue heard the gospel in their language. Okay? Keep in mind, that was the original tongue. That was those who were filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the tongues that they were speaking about. It wasn't the spiritual tongue. It was the tongue, the gift of languages, so that other folk heard that and they knew, because they were unbelievers. And again, one of the gifts of tongues